Coming up this week on the Rock for Him podcast, we talk to the guys from the band True Revival. Well, hello and welcome into the Rock for Him podcast. I am your host, Sandshoes. As you can see, Mr. Brown is not here again this week. Well, he was here the last 2 weeks, but he's not here this week. Jeremy, we miss you. Kira, so happy that you're back. We missed you last week. So,
yes, welcome back. I missed you guys too, but it was worth it. But I missed you guys, but I'm glad I'm back.
And as you can see, our special guests, we have Terry, Douglas, and Jim from the band True Revival. Guys, how are you doing today?
Doing good.
Excellent, excellent. For those watching, if you have any questions for the guys or for us, just go ahead and drop them in the chat. We are live on Facebook. Kira will be watching that. We are live on Twitch. I have that up on this screen, and we're also live on YouTube. I also have that on the screen, so if you send a message in any one of those, we'll toss them to the guys. We'll have them answer your questions. But let's get into talking to them, guys. Tell us a little bit about True Revival.
Well, we've been together approximately 8 years, I think. Jim and myself go to the same church, play in the praise band there. And he approached me one day and said something about wanting to start an all-original Christian rock band, which really sparked my interest because I had been writing Christian rock for years and really hadn't thought of what to do with it. And True Revival became the outlet for that.
So how many releases do you guys currently have out right now?
Just one album. Okay. Yeah, we are working on our second.
Awesome. I think on one of our previous stations that we were on, you guys were one of the first ones that sent us. And I think it was, you sent us the song, hold on, I'm looking, The Sword. I think you guys sent that to us back in the day. Back in, I think it was like 3 or 4 years ago that you sent it to us. Yep. And I know it was doing pretty well on the top 15 when we were doing that. So I know we talked a little bit about the band, but can you just tell us, kind of introduce yourselves and what your roles are in the band?
I'm the lead singer. I'm the only singer, actually. Nobody sings but me, unfortunately. But lead guitar, lead vocals.
Man of many talents.
Well, I'm Doug, and I play rhythm and lead and pick up heavy stuff, I guess. I don't know, but it's I'm the newest one in the band. I haven't been with the group quite as long, but Jim and I had played in a worship band many years ago and became good friends playing that band. And then when they were looking to take True Revival a little heavier, they asked me if I would be interested in sitting in, and I like distortion and loud amps, so I fit in pretty good.
Love it.
Oh, you're muted, Jim.
You're muted, Jim. Can't hear you.
Can't hear you, brother.
There should be a button on the very bottom where it says audio and video.
Nope.
Can't hear you. Terry, you want to tell us what Jim does in the band? Tell you what, Jim, you just move your mouth and Terry will do the talking.
Jim is our bass guitarist.
Very nice. Very, very nice.
Our drummer's not with us this evening. He's out of town on work. So.
Okay. So I got to tell you, like, I'm not all that familiar with your guys' music. Like I said, I know you sent us The Sword back in the day. And we just get so much music, honestly. So when Jeremy said, hey, we got True Revival coming on, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember those guys. That's right. So I immediately jump on Spotify, start listening to music. And I got to say, it's one of those, musically, it reminds me of like a Lynyrd Skynyrd type of music, like that 70s, but it's fun and it is so gospel driven. Like, I'm out mowing my yard today, and hold on, I'm looking at the songs here. Man of Perdition comes on. That song is my favorite song on that release. Like, it just has this fun beat to it. And Terry, your vocals in there were phenomenal.
Oh, thank you.
But yeah, it just has this, again, it just kept hitting my head like this is like a Lynyrd Skynyrd. Like, I could see you guys opening for them back in the day. Like, that's how good it is.
Awesome. Thank you.
So fun, right? Tell us a little bit about that music. Like, how did you come up with that? Is that a style that you were looking for, or am I just way off?
No, actually, my background is classic rock. Okay. I was on the road for years in a classic rock band, traveled all over the United States. So that's just kind of what I go to naturally, both vocally and on guitar. I love harmonized lead. So Doug and I have been doing quite a bit of that in numerous songs. So it just kind of fell into the Southern rock style, classic rock, bluesy rock. And, you know, we often say when we play an event, please listen to our lyrics, because if you don't hear the message in the lyrics, we're just another rock band. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to be just another rock band. You know, we want to rock for Jesus. So.
I love that. So, Kira, what do you got?
Okay, so I don't know how to pronounce this, so please correct me. What is, because your background is in Baroque or Baroque classical music. It's B-A-R-O-Q-U-E.
Whose background?
Blue's background. Jam. Okay, so that's, okay.
The one we can't hear.
Yeah. I know, Jim, you got to fix your thing. It's on the bottom.
I don't think he
even. You got to touch your screen. You got to touch your screen, and then it should pop up. Mute, stop video chat. Do you see that? No? I know, well, that sucks, because I was going to ask him about the Air Force. I was going to have him tell us about the Air Force. But so you have this interesting place that you do music in, but you are influenced by bands like Metallica and stuff like that, right? Or no?
Personally, I wasn't as much as
Jim was.
Older bands, yes. Jim and Doug, okay. Yes. Go ahead, guys.
If you heard, I know that you haven't, we don't have anything out there for you to listen to of our new stuff. We've been playing a lot of it live for about a year or so now. But for example, we're doing a Juggerland Festival this weekend. Mm. And the first two opening songs are going to be our new songs that we're playing that aren't on the CD. The first song starts out like a Judas Priest Screaming for Vengeance tour type of riff going up the neck, and then while I'm doing that, Terry's harmonizing along with it, and it's got a driving drum beat, and then it goes into basically a hopped up 12 bar blues, and then I throw in a fun lead in there at some point. And that song is specifically about what it will be like first day in heaven the first time I see Christ. Oh, and wow. How I in the song it says, you won't find me standing with my hands up. I'll be face down because I know I don't deserve to be in his presence. And it's about him coming up and acknowledging me. And I want to, and then he wants to wash my feet. That's the gist of the song. I'd seen a picture once of Jesus washing the feet of someone that was very, very down on their luck. And I was like, man, he's the king. He's our king, but he humbles himself in that way. And that's what that song is. And then from that song, we go into the next song, which is actually written about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being in the fiery furnace. And I had the basic idea for that up front, and then I gave the lyrics to Terry, and he and I sat down and worked on being able to come up with a melody for it. And it's a melody. It's a pretty heavy song. So I don't. And the intro riff, I absolutely love playing. It's just a hoot. It's hard on my hand, but it's a hoot to play. But it sounds more like heavy Black Sabbath type of a riff. I mean, it's just that really thick. And I usually use either my PRS or my SG that I've got hopped up pickups on because it gives me a really solid crunch on it. But the whole point of Shadrach, that song's called Fire. The whole point of that song, and it's heavy and it rocks out, is it's to be an example. And that's what we talk about, the lyrics and the songs, and they mean something, and it's to provoke thought and to make you think about things. So if you're thinking, all right, I'm having a rough patch, and that song came about when I was wanting to do something kind of in homage to my mom, because she was my favorite Sunday school teacher. And then the other thing was I was going through a rough patch in my job and health-wise, and I was like, man, Lord, I'm in the wilderness right now. I don't know why I'm in the wilderness. I know I'm in the wilderness, and I know you're with me, but it's rough in here. And then I got to thinking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't back down. They didn't flinch. They didn't waver at all. And they were like, throw us in the furnace. We'd rather burn up than bow down. And so then when Terry and I started writing, the melody and the lyrics and getting everything fine-tuned, we wanted to make it be more. We really were trying to get it very scriptural, and we talk about that there's three plus one because it was the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and then plus another person in the fire. And so that's how. In case anybody's coming to Juggerland on Saturday, those are the first two songs, and we'll come out smoking hot on those two songs. And they don't sound like Southern rock so much. They sound a little bit more like a punch in the face, but that's how I like to play. So I adapted to the Southern rock stuff. But there's also some really other, man, we could talk about the new music all night, because I'm really excited about a couple of Terry's songs that are the first, and it's, we haven't started working on it yet, but a couple of the other ones, Gotta Have Jesus and Wings of Gold. And Terry's really good about combining scripture or old hymns in with the songs. And then the first time I heard those two songs that Terry wrote, Wings of Gold and Gotta Have Jesus. And then Terry says, hey, I want this one to sound like ZZ Top. And I want this one to sound like AC/DC. And I'm like, okay, well, I like both of those guys. So we started working on it. And as always, Terry's lyrics are excellent. So we're still going to have that old rock vibe as well in some of the new music. And then our mute friend Jim wrote a couple of songs. He wrote the song "The Sword," that we sent to you. And it's about the Bible, and it's about that's the when Christ was being tempted in the wilderness, he just that was his sword was how he was fighting back against the devil, because everything else is defensive. Breastplate, helmet, shield, that's all defensive armor. And the sword is the only thing we've got to attack back with. And every time the devil tempted Christ, he came back with scripture. He just came back with scripture. Just came back with scripture. So then we harassed poor Jim about that song. We said, well, we need to do a song about the whole armor of God. So He worked up a song called Armor of God, and that's to kind of take it a little bit further, but probably one of I love the sword, but one of the favorite songs that Jim wrote, that man, I love playing it, but the thought of the song is, it's called It Wasn't the Nails, and it's pretty heavy, which makes me happy. But it is about the fact that, when Christ was hanging on the cross, he could have called down legions of angels to take him off. And they were at the edge of heaven saying, God, let us go down there. All he's got to do is just nod and we'll be there. But the gist of the song is called Nails. And what it is that it wasn't the nails that held him on the cross. It was his love for us and his choice to stay on the cross, because he didn't have to. He didn't have to take the beating. He didn't have to be nailed to the cross. He didn't have to die on that cross. He did all of that. And it wasn't because nails were holding him there. It was because he loved us so much. So that's one of Jim's songs. I'm sorry, Jim.
Jim,
Jim.
Jim, you might want to move that camera. You're making us way uncomfortable, Jim. It's not that kind of podcast, Jim.
Oh, goodness sakes. So anyways, I've rambled on quite a bit. Terry,
No.
if you want to talk some about the new ones that you wrote and where they came from and stuff like that, but a lot of that stuff, Wings of Gold and Gotta Have Jesus, aren't going to get played Saturday. We're
Okay.
hoping to have them by maybe midsummer to be able to play some of those. I don't know if we'll have them ready for KCF or not, but it'd be cool. It's fun to play new music. You play the same song hundreds and hundreds of times, and you got people that really like them, so you keep playing them, and you love the songs, but it's always fun to work on new stuff.
For sure. So what he was going to throw it over to you there, Terry. Like, what do you have to say about these new songs? 'Cause I'm excited to hear it. Like, if it's heavier than your last stuff, that just doubles the excitement for me.
It's definitely heavier. Not every song is, but most of them are. There's one song that I'm using a pitch shifter on my guitar, so it's shifting my whole tuning down a lot. So it's a very, very deep sounding song. It's called Temptation. And it's one of those songs that God wrote it through me. I don't write songs, God writes them through me. And that song came and was finished in probably 15 minutes. Just, I sat down and it came to my mind. I started jotting down ideas, and 15 minutes later it was done. So that's one that I'm really excited about on the album. And as far as songwriting is concerned, songs come to me in a lot of different ways. I was reading, doing my Bible study a few weeks ago, and I read Isaiah 35, and that is actually called the Road of Holiness. And I read it, and as soon as I finished reading it, I thought, that's a song. So I jotted it down pretty much exactly like it is in the album, and put music to it, and it was done in about 15 minutes. So they come in a lot of different ways. Sometimes it's a guitar riff, sometimes it's a melody line. It's just a lot of different ways.
Jim, you need to shut your computer off because you're causing a reverb echo.
Jim,
No,
you're killing me.
All right, how's that? Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah.
Hey,
All
welcome to
right,
the
cool.
show. There we
Hey,
go.
iPhone, yeah.
We were
Sorry,
all
guys.
set to make fun of you because you couldn't fight back, but no, I guess we can't.
Now, I apologize, man, really. Okay, can I go back to the question about Baroque?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Okay, what Baroque is, I'm a big fan of heavy classical music.
Okay.
And the people like, the Bach and Handel and you know, all back in the 1600s, real heavy pipe organ type stuff. That's kind of what got me into bass playing. You know, I like the low end. I like to be able to shake things, and that works. So, yeah.
Okay, that's awesome.
Did it answer your question?
Yes, thank you. And you pronounced it correctly.
Okay. Just next time, don't ask me to turn the audio on my computer, because it'll take me forever to figure it out.
Come on, again, you're from Air Force. You got this.
Yeah, I used to fix jet engines, if you could believe it. But anyway.
Yeah, so what happened? But that's the other thing I wanted to talk to you about, was how you went from the Air Force to playing in a band.
Well, actually, I was in a band. I'm originally from the Chicago area, and I was in a top 40 cover band, a little bit heavier, back in the early 80s. Yeah, I'm old.
Did you have big hair?
Yeah. And the job I was in, let's just say I didn't get along with. I had some health problems, and I thought, okay, this isn't for me. I've always liked airplanes as well. And I thought, well, okay, I'll join the Air Force. My dad was in, and his dad before him, and I did it. And matter of fact, I retired in 2005. Used to work on jet engines. That's why I can't hear that well today. But I loved it. And, you know, the love of music just carried through that. And then, like Terry had mentioned earlier, we got together via one of the worship bands that we were in, and decided to go out on our own and do some of the original stuff, and basically use the talent that God gave us to give back to Him. You know, if we could just get one person, it's mission accomplished.
Amen.
And that's what it's all about. It's about giving honor and glory to God.
Well, thank you for your service.
Yes.
Oh, well, thank you. And again, I apologize for the mic thing.
It's all good. It happens more than you can imagine. Usually by this guy.
Oh, well, yeah. You forgot to turn something on. I hear you.
That's normally what I do. So I want to ask you guys about your version of Blessed Assurance. Like, I am an absolute dork for cover music. And just to hear different versions of songs that I already love, and your version of Blessed Assurance, because I, like I said, I wasn't all that familiar with your music. Got on the mower today, put on the headphones, got on Spotify, hit play, and then this came on. I literally stopped the mower and just kind of sat back and listened to the entire song. Like, Terry, your vocals on there, I know I said this with last time, but oh my goodness, like, just the passion that you had singing this song, the way you sung it, musically, vocally, everything was just such a blessing to listen to. Like, how did you guys come into that song and decide to do it like that?
Well, we decided to do the song. The song's in 6/8 time, original version. And I thought, you know, how are we going to rock up 6/8? That's kind of hard to do. So got to give kudos to our drummer, Dan. We did the intro of the song in 6/8. And then when it kicks in with the full band, Dan said, let's go to 4/4. Hmm. And I was like, I don't know if that'll work. I don't know if I can sing it like that. And it just worked. And we thank you for the compliments on that. We get a lot of compliments on that song because it's so different than the original. So yeah, that's one of my favorite songs to do in a show.
Yeah, me too. I love it because we harmonize guitars, and that's always fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
You know,
Go ahead.
It was really cool. It was either last year or the year before. We actually did it at KCF. And I had a lot of people come up to me afterwards, and they're like, well, we play that at church, but we don't play it like that. And so you guys did very good. And I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, I host a Sunday morning wake up and worship, and I'm always looking for you know, like rockier versions of worship music, this is one I'm going to have to pick up just to put on the show because, my goodness, it's fantastic. Like,
thank you. I Shall Not Be Moved is also an old gospel song.
Is it? Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
So when are you guys going to release any of these new music that Doug was talking about? When do we get to hear any of that? A single coming out soon?
$6 million question. Our drummer is currently working out of town, which is kind of slowing things down a little bit. We've been working on the new material. I think we have two, maybe three more songs to learn before we'll be ready to go in the studio. So it'll be a little bit before we can get it recorded, mixed, mastered, all that.
I'm excited to hear that. I love heavy. Like I'm the heavy one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of your drummer, so he had broken his arm. What was it? He broke his arm right before you had a big gig. And then who took over for him? Because you guys were still able to continue playing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. There's a gentleman here in town. His name is Mike Vaughn. He's an excellent drummer. I've known Mike since the 80s, and he was playing in, you know, in the bars back in the 80s, the same as I was. And when Dan broke his arm, we called Mike and said, hey, we knew Mike was a good Christian man, loved the Lord very much, and said, hey, would you be able to learn our material and do some gigs with us until Dan heals up? And he's like, absolutely. So he came in and did a great job for us.
That's awesome. You should have demanded he pulled a Def Leppard. Come on, let's go.
I was just going to say that.
That happened in practice the other night because we were playing, and I forget which song it was, but boom, his stick went flying. And normally he's got extra sticks right there to grab. Well, I could see it down by his feet, and we're cooking on this song, and I'm playing, and I just reached down and grabbed the stick real fast, and then picked up and handed it to him. But we were harassing him because he was trying to keep going with just one hand. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, we all get together at Terry's house and practice down in his basement. So Terry's wife gets to, you know, feel the floor vibrating as we're downstairs blasting out tunes, but. It's I know a lot of bands will release like a single, and I guess it's the old school in us. We want to do the entire CD at once and release the CD. And that's what we did on the last one when we released that one. And that's kind of where we're headed with this one as well. But as far as, I mean, we're all perfectionists, so that's the toughest part probably, but, several of the songs we've played them live so many times now that I think we could probably go into a studio and record them probably within three takes. The cool thing about being part of this particular band is Dan is a phenomenal drummer and has played in major bands. Jim, like he said, played all over Chicago and is phenomenal musically, not just playing, but his understanding of music. And then Terry toured. I mean, the band he was in opened for, was it Dr. Hook?
Terry? That was one of them. Yeah.
Yeah. And, gosh darn it. What? Terry, what's the name of that show? Darn it. Ed McMahon. You were on the Ed McMahon singing.
Star Search.
Terry was on Star Search back in the day.
And, wow. And
his hair was a little different color back then, but he was just as pretty.
Was it my color?
No, it was blonde, wasn't it, Terry?
Oh.
Hey, it was kind of a dark blonde, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very nice.
But, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so you'd probably find that on YouTube if you want to look it up. But
oh,
everything's on YouTube.
I'm definitely looking that up.
Yeah.
So you said you had sent us a song today. Are we allowed to play that on the station? Do you want us to hold off? Because I haven't looked at it yet. I haven't checked the email yet.
I'm sorry, I didn't send you a song. I sent you a greeting. I thought that's what you were asking us for.
Oh, okay. I thought you said. Yeah. I thought you said a song.
He did what I did to you.
Yeah. See, Kira came on originally as a guest, and she was so awesome that we brought her on as a co-host. So yeah, she did the same thing.
But I did the same thing. I thought that they were asking, maybe we should reword that email, but I thought they were asking for me to create my own greeting. And so I had sent like a couple. Then he was like, no, you just do that while you're with us. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I don't know.
See, I thought that too. I thought that we were, but I was out of the office today. And when we were all those guys were all texting, and Terry said, hey, I got it. I'll send a bump. And I was like, all right, because I wasn't even close to a computer most of the day. So,
Jeremy, if you're watching, you need to revise that email, brother.
Yeah, put after it. So, Doug, you love hot rods as well, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you got one in your garage currently?
I do. I've had it since I was 17 years old. I traded a 73 Monte Carlo for it. And I remember when... I told the guy when he brought it out to the house, because my dad would have to see it, and my two older brothers had muscle cars and about killed themselves in them because they drove like maniacs. So my mom and dad were very apprehensive about muscle cars, and I told the guy, I said, when you drive it out to my mom and dad's house, as soon as you pull in the driveway, shut it off. I said, my dad worked on race teams, and he'll hear that engine, and he'll know it's not stock. So you hear him coming down the road because it's got 411 gears in it, and whoa, turns in the driveway, and it's going, which is a pretty heavy cam. And my dad and I were out in the garage, and he was messing with my mom's car, and all he did was just look out from under the hood and go, that ain't stock. And I said, no, Dad, it's not. But and then my career that I chose is in sales. I'm an account executive for a company, and I have been selling since I graduated college. And I got into early sales, convincing my parents to let me buy that car. And I did. I got it. And it's one of those things where it's good things cars can't talk. And it's also a good thing that I wasn't in this era, because everybody has cameras. And some of the shenanigans I did in that car were good times and a lot of fun. But I've got my screensaver on my computer is looking out the dash of that car going down a two-lane blacktop. And I've got a couple of cool pictures of my grandson and I in it. I drove him around the cul-de-sac, and he thought that was just... He loves cars, and it's just it. I have the pipes come right out just past the doors, so they're kind of legal, but who knows? But it just the car just shakes, and it's delicious. But Jim's got a classic. I mean, mine is this Frankenstein. I got a four rear end, a reverse valve body transmission, a souped up engine, and all kinds of shenanigans on traction bars and all kinds of shenanigans. Jim's is a classic convertible that is just gorgeous. I'll let him talk about his car.
Tell us about it, Jim.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate that, Doug. Thank you. Yeah, it's a 66 Mustang convertible. It's been fully restored. And right now, unfortunately, it's pretty dusty in my garage. But I'm pretty proud of that. It's all stock. You know, it's got a 289 four-barrel and... it's not the hot rod, you know, the big cam that Doug's car's got in it, but it's pretty nice to drive around town. I will say that.
He uses a lot less gas than I do.
Yes.
You guys would get along with my father-in-law. He is a car guy. I'm not. Like, I get behind the wheel, and as long as I can push the pedal and it goes, I'm happy. But yeah. He absolutely loves cars. Like, we can pull into his driveway. He can get out, look down... And just by the tire tracks, tell me who was at his house while we were gone. I'm like, how do you know that, Dad? He's like, I'm just a car guy. I know. And I'm like, good grief. Don't ever commit a crime around you.
Really?
Does he have a car?
He has got, I want to say it is a 55 Chevy truck that he restored.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
I can't tell you what it is, because again, I'm not a car guy, but this is like his pride and joy.
I would say. And 55 is nice.
And we live not too far. I don't know if you guys have ever been to Frankenmuth, Michigan before. But they've got this one wooden bridge that everyone that has like a classic car, when you go on it, you light the tires just because of the noise it makes. And every time we go up there, he has to make sure he takes my daughter in the car with him. He's like, "All right, are you ready?" And he just smokes the tires on this bridge and gets going, and it sounds amazing.
Nice. Good yeah. stuff. Yeah. Let's see, whenever I come back from taking my car for a drive, I'll come down through my, I live in a neighborhood, so I come through my neighborhood into my cul-de-sac. And I pull up into my driveway. And as soon as my tires are out of the street and in my driveway, I'll just pop the foot feed real quick, and it'll smoke the tires. And then I idle it in the garage. And my wife always says, "Well, I knew you were home." The house was shaking. I'm like, "Yep."
She's shaking her head.
Yeah. She knows I'm, 12 going on 61. So there you go.
Same. Well. 12 just turned 50, but yes, I'm right there with you. So we do have to ask, this is a very important part of our show. Can you guys give us just a really quick synopsis of your testimonies? How did you guys come to know Christ?
All right, I'll go first. Okay. I was raised in a Christian home. I had two brothers, two sisters. I'm the baby of the family. And, my nearest sibling is actually 10 years older than me. So when I was 8 years old, he was 18 years old and he left for the Navy. All my other siblings were already moved out. So it was from 8 years old on, it was me, mom and dad. And we were at church every Sunday morning, every Wednesday evening. Saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan and got into music like that. And then I saw Led Zeppelin and got into rock and roll, got out of high school, went on the road in a rock band and drifted away from Christ. Thank God I never got into drugs. I always wanted to be my best when I walked on stage. I never wanted to be anything but my best when I was on stage. So I traveled for over 10 years, came back home, got back into church, got myself back right with Christ, and here I am. So
Love it.
All right. Well, I guess I'll go next. I was actually raised in the Lutheran church. Did that for a long time. And I always had a feeling that, okay, God, I know you're there and I'm kind of special to you. I don't know, call that corny, call it whatever you want. But I really didn't know Christ until it was in the 90s at one of my Air Force bases. The guy that I used to work with and another guy invited me to go to a non-denominational Christian church. And ironically, it was a Church of Christ, which is non-instrumental. And my faith just exploded. I was baptized as an adult. And like I say, it's just the growth was exponential. And then, I got a little close to things there. It was more of a legalistic thing. And I thought, okay, this isn't right. So, I started playing music. We got out of the military, came back. I was one of the principal bassists at one of the Christian churches here. And then we got a little close to that one. We moved over to the one where I met Terry. And and like I say, it's all about giving glory and honor back to him. So that's kind of it in a nutshell for me.
Awesome.
I would say my story is in two separate parts. I grew up in church. like Terry was talking about. And then towards the end of my high school existence, I'd been heavily involved in youth group, and I was even the president of our youth group at one point. And then I got, everybody talks about getting church hurt. Well, I was church hurt by a situation that happened, and I just rebelled against it, and I went the complete polar opposite direction. And then I got a scholarship to go to college. And my parents even told me that the day up before I left for college that they were glad I was leaving because they were sick of me and my shenanigans. And then when I was in college, I was definitely, I mean, I knew who God was, but I didn't care. I'd ride my motorcycle drunk. I bounced and I worked security at concerts and stuff. I know you haven't met me, but I'm a decent sized guy. And back then I was a track athlete, and I threw the shot and disc and jav and stuff. So I was very strong. And anyways, that's irrelevant. I lived that way. Then I met a very special lady, and she started softening my heart a little bit on how angry I was at the world. And then she and I got married after we got out of college, and then we started thinking about wanting to have a family. And I told her, I said, but by this point, I was still bouncing occasionally for bars, but that was just for extra money. But I told my wife, I said, I was raised in church, and I think it's important, and I want to, if we're going to have kids, I want them to have a church. I want them to know what church is. So we started looking for a church. And it was funny that we went to this one, and I grew up, country poor, small town. I was in the sticks. There's the sticks, and then there's the sticks of the sticks. And I was in the sticks of the sticks, middle of nowheres, grew up on a farm. And so we go to this church that's here in our community, and it's big. And I wasn't about big churches, but that's what my wife had gone to when she was a kid. And we come walking up, and we walked in, and there's this guy at the door who looks as strong as I am. And he was just standing there. He was wearing this suit, and he was just, and he reached out, and he just put the hammer to my hand, and I put the hammer to his hand. And I just felt this genuine connection with the guy. And I was like, and then when we went home that afternoon, my wife said, what'd you think of that church? I said, I don't know about that church. I don't know about that preacher, but that dude that shook my hand at the door, I want to be his friend. I said, I like that guy. And it come to find out he was the associate pastor. And the more I started, we started going there, and then I ended up recommitting my life. And it was, and then from there it was, man, I did a lot of youth work, a lot of I gave up a lot of vacations to do junior high challenges or CIYs with high school kids or mission trips with high school kids. And at the same time I was doing that, I also got into I told my wife, I said, I think God wants me to do something. I don't know what it is, but I feel that there's more that God wants me to do. And this is back in the 90s. And that weekend I had a played basketball with some of my college teammates. And I was getting my shoes on, and one of my buddies was talking to me, and he goes, Keel, when are you going to coach my throwers? And I sat there, and it was just like, and I was like, oh. I said, you know what? Let me ask my boss. And he goes, dude, if you want to coach my kids, because he was the head track coach at a big high school here in the area, he said, I know how good you were, and how you would actually coach the other college throwers, how much you'd studied the technique and stuff. He goes, I would love to have you coach the kids. So I prayed about it, talked to my wife, and the whole reason I got into coaching kids is I wanted to reach out and give back to young people, because I had some coaches that I loved, and I wanted to love on these kids. Because, man, I'll tell you what, you want to, I can tell you stories of heartbreak that I loved coaching those kids, and I absolutely connected with them. And I used to tell my wife, I'd say, I'd hug them. They'd come up, and I'd give them the big old Coach Keel hug. And I told my wife, I said, you know, a lot of those kids, that's the only hug they're going to get today. And I'm the only person that's going to tell them that they love them. And I do. And I had this one boy, Jiminy Christmas. He's a grown man with three kids now and has his own company and everything else. But back then he was a kid. And I remember the first year I was coaching there, he and I had been at practice and he didn't want to leave. He wanted to stay with me, wanted to stay with me, wanted to stay with me. And then finally it was like, bro, it's Saturday. I want to go home and be with my family. So we were carrying the implements in and he just all of a sudden started talking and he said, you know, my dad abandoned me when I was five. And then we just had a conversation and I was like, God, you did put me here. This is why I got into coaching was to be there for these kids. And then I've had this one young man. He lives in the North Pole now of all places, but he'd just call me and he'd say, Coach, can I come over? And I'd say, you just coming to visit or are you staying? And he'd say, I need to stay for a couple of days. And I'd say, does either your mom or dad know? Yes. And I'd say, come on over. And he would sleep on the couch. And it was just a domestic situation where the environment was bad. It was very toxic. His parents ended up getting a divorce, and he felt he told his mom one time that the reason he liked coming here is because when me and my wife hugged him, he felt loved. And she said, "Well, I hug you and I love you." And he goes, "But I feel it when they hug at me." And I felt bad for his mom. And I was like, "Holy smokes, bud!" But that was that kind of stuff that. You know, we always witnessed to the kids, and they all knew that, you know, I was how I was, and gosh, man, I can go on about talking to kids for eons. But anywho, what happened was, got married. My wife is an absolute angel. I figure when she gets to heaven, that she's going to have a triaxle dump truck to haul her crown around for dealing with me for all these years. But that was the beginning of softening my heart. And then later on is when I really truly got, and once I got back in, I was like, I really missed it. That's a crazy thing. You think when you're rebelling that you're being all this independent and, you know, I'm going to be, you know, well, the reality is you're just being a knucklehead and you know that you were happier before. You know that you had peace before. You know that you had the ability to sleep at night and not, you know, have disruptive sleep. And then when you come back to it, it's kind of like, oh, man, I really was an idiot for a while, wasn't I? So, of course, everybody would agree with that knows me, so that's all right.
And
Be
no.
quiet.
Never feel bad about talking about that, honestly. I mean, I am a Sunday school teacher, and one of the kids that I've told the story before in here, but one of the kids that I was a teacher for is now one of our co-hosts. His name is Riker. He's not on all the time. He actually stepped away for a while. He's now one of our youth group leaders. He's 20 years old, and he's, you know, training to lead our youth group, our teen group, and just met himself a wonderful young lady that he promises to introduce me to. So seeing all that, I understand that pride of being able to teach these kids and watch them grow up and just the things that they go through. And, you know, now I'm not going to say I had that kind of impact like you did, because Riker's dad is fantastic. Dude's like one of my favorite guys. But just getting to see Riker grow up and go through all that, I completely understand what you're saying.
Well, I've got one young man that we call our bonus son, and when he was my oldest daughter, when she started going to the high school, it's a big high school. And she was, you know, as a freshman kid, you're going into a school with several thousand kids. You're a little apprehensive. And I always told her, I said, just look for Big Matt's big nugget. If you see that, you know, 6'4", 340-pound dude walking down the hallway and you're feeling a little nervous or something, just go over to him. You'll be fine because he's huge. And he played football. He played offensive line for the high school and he threw for me. Well, my daughter set her sights on him and she said, I'm leading him to Christ. And if you've ever met my daughter, but she's focused. And by golly, she baptized him. And He lived with us for about 3 months, and it was a tough home situation. But that's gotten his parents have gotten help and are better now. But back then they were not doing well. So he lived with us for a little bit. But I remember when my daughter baptized him, and you got to know Matthew is a very hyped up. He's a big dude, and everybody always thinks he's my son because we're very similar in size. And we were getting ready to go have him get baptized, and Jordan was going to be already in the water waiting for him. And my daughter's about 5'8", and she was a heptathlete in college, phenomenal athlete, but she's 5'8", maybe 140 pounds at the time. And Matthew's 6'4", 330, 340 pounds, and is ginormous. And he's all pumped up. And I mean, he's mounting back. And I said, Matthew? And he goes, yeah, coach. I said, I need you to think about something. And he goes, yeah. I said, when you get in the water, yeah. And I said, okay. She's going to lay you back in the water. He goes, yeah. And I said, look at you. Yeah. Look at Jordy. And he goes, yeah. And I said, bro, she's going to need you to help her to get you back out of the water. And he goes, oh, yeah, coach. I'm going to make her lift me all the way up like that. And I said, all right. She's excited, and he come up out of that water more fired up than he was before he went in the water. And so yeah, and he's like another son. He's like a son to us. All of these kids call my wife and I grandma and grandpa or nana and papa, and we do family vacations and stuff. But it was one of those things where the connection was I coached him, and he saw Christ's love whenever he come to my house, through my wife, through myself, through my daughters. And it just, he ended up giving his life to Christ. And it was one of those things where that was the whole reason I ever got into coaching, was to make it a real difference for the kingdom. Now I play
Nice.
guitar.
Nice. All right. Well, unfortunately, we're quickly running out of time here, so I'm going to throw it over to Kira, see if she's got one last question before we get into prayer. Kira, you got anything?
I just know you guys do a lot of stuff with the biker community. Is that biker ministry or just bikers in general?
There's different bikers groups. We've Bikers for Christ and Honor Bound. We played for some of their like Blessings of the Bikes and for their annual meetings. I will say that real quick, this is something that all of us are really happy to do and are I hate to say proud, but it brings great joy. Years ago, we worked out a thing with a group called Wheeler Mission that has a rehab center in southern Indiana. And every year we go down and we put on a show for the guys. We eat supper with them and hang out with them and pray with them and talk to them and listen to their stories. And the rehab goes for a year. So every year it's new guys. So every year we get it to witness to and talk to. And I remember the first time, and we got that coming up at the end of this month. But I remember the first time we played Terry's song, Temptation, for those guys. And it is this slow, almost slow bluesy pedestrian walking, and as he sings, and then I match him on the guitar with what he's doing on the vocal after he'll sing something, and then I'll do a riff. He'll sing something, then I do a riff. We got done with that song, and it was dead silence because those guys, there was some guys that were teared up because they knew the battle of temptation because they hadn't been successful against the battle with temptation. And that song just spoke to their heart. And one of the guys was going, that's the best song I've ever heard in my life. I was like, well, hey, Terry, he wrote it. But we got done with the show, and the pastor got up there and he goes, man, that one song about being tempted. And we were like, yeah, temptation. He goes, I love that. I'd love to hear that again. We were like, well, dude, we're still plugged in. You want to hear it again? And we played it again. And then after that, we went down there to bless them. All those men came up, laid hands on us, and prayed over us. And it was just, you could feel the Holy Spirit in that building. I mean,
It was amazing.
it was something else. It was one of those time points in time where you just go, wow. You can feel that. I don't know if you've ever had that more. You could almost reach out and touch and feel the spirit. It was just that palatable where you could feel it. It was good stuff.
Love it.
That's awesome.
Absolutely love it. Well, Like I said, unfortunately, we are out of time for the show. But one of the important parts of our show is we love to pray for our guests. So I'm going to start with Terry here. Terry, how can we be praying for you personally and for the band?
Well, personally, I'm pretty good. I just had a knee replacement 2 months ago, so I'm healing from that. Prayer is always nice for that. For the band, just pray that God uses us. You know, just send us out and use us.
All right. And Jim, how can we be praying for you, brother? That you can learn how to use the microphone, obviously.
Yeah, well, I think I got that. I turned my iPhone on. But seriously, I'm doing good. I just, you know, the mission of True Revival is to, like I said, use our gifts that he gave us to give back to him. And if through our playing, singing, witnessing, we can reach one individual, it's mission accomplished. So that would be my prayer for the band. You know, let's use us, help us to reach people for God. We're just that conduit that the Holy Spirit can flow through sometimes, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
You know, and that's what it's all about. Yeah, I mean, we've had challenges, and with Dan breaking his arm, for example, or now he's with a job that, you know, we can't rehearse as much anymore. And, you know, that was one of our hallmarks, is everybody would compliment us on how tight the band was. Well, to do that, you got to rehearse. And, you know, we've had our obstacles thrown in our way. And, you know, we can talk about, well, you know, they say it's an Air Force term. The flak is always heaviest when you're over the target, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
You know, Satan likes to throw things in front of us when we're getting close to accomplishing a mission. And, you know, we just, getting back to the prayer, you know, perseverance, help us to persevere, help us to reach others for him. And again, it's all about giving him the honor and the glory.
Awesome. I will add that to the list right now. Doug, how about you? How can we be praying for you, brother?
Well, I can see how much time we got left, and I'm excellent at being brief. So here we go. Big thing. We love to play. We want to be used by Christ. If there are festivals, there are events, heck, if it's somebody's backyard birthday party and we can play and influence somebody for Christ, we're down with it. We will travel. We've gone all over the place. We just want to play. We want to be used. And none of us think of this as, oh, I'm getting more known for playing music. You can ask every one of us. You know, I've told them before, I'll stand behind the stage in a curtain and play. As long as Christ is what's truly coming through the music, that's all we want. And we want to be used as much as possible. And then personally, I've got some shoulder issues that make it a little bit tougher to play right now. But that's what Advil's for. All those years of sports catch up with you after a while.
For sure. All right, I'll be praying for all that. And I get what you're saying. Like, you don't want to be known. You want Christ to be known. I mean, look at the screen. I don't even use my own name on here. So I'd rather people don't know who I am, just know who he is.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and close this out in prayer real quick. Great and Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for bringing the guys from True Revival here. And I ask that you just watch over them, both physically and mentally and spiritually, Lord. Just continue to heal Terry's knee from the surgery. We thank you that he was able to have it and just bring him back to full strength. And watch over Doug and his shoulder. Lord, you are the great physician. You can heal all things, so please just do a work within him. Watch over Jim and just continue to bless him. And Lord, just help them to stay focused on the mission. And Lord, if you can bring one person to you through their music, that's all they need, Lord. We want more, but they would be happy with just seeing just one. So Lord, just continue to watch over them, bless them, use them for your honor and your glory. And we thank you so much for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins on that cross. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much. It's been such an honor to get you to know you guys. And I see it. I feel it. I hear it. All glory to God. Like, that's so beautiful. I love it. So thank you guys for being with us tonight. And thank you for everyone. There's a few people in the chat. Jeffrey says hi.
Yay. Yeah. Jeffrey's a good dude, man.
Okay, good. I'm like, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
But thank you guys so much. And remember, if you're going to rock, rock for him.
Amen.
If you like what you saw today, hit the subscribe and like button down below. And don't forget to share it to all your friends. Also, leave us a comment down below. If you're going to rock, rock for him.
Next week on Rock for Him, well, our guest unfortunately was under the weather and couldn't make it, so we'll be playing a classic episode. Which one is it? You'll have to tune in and find out.